Today's gospel sort of reminds me of my old friend, Father Tyler. And many of you have heard stories in my homilies about him before. And oddly enough, he'll be the one coming to do our 40 hours devotion in Lent. So you can recall all these to him when he's here. But in this case of his adventures, we were going to Barcelona one weekend when I was in Rome with them. And so my friend Father Andrew and I flew out on a direct flight that took 2 hours. Father Tyler decided to save a few dollars and went on this unbelievable route through several cities and finally landed much later in Barcelona. When we arrived in the late morning, Father Andrew and I had time to go see the famous church, Sagrada Familia. We had a chance to check into our little Airbnb apartment, and we sat out on the balcony having some Spanish wines. So it was a nice afternoon. Meanwhile, Father Tyler got in around 9 o'clock. There had been a delay and a missed flight, everything that can go wrong when you have multiple layovers. So around 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we get a buzz from down below. And we look down from the 10th floor, and we see this little blonde head way down there. And Tyler was calling up to us saying, "Guys, let me in." And we said, as the gospel today says, "Friend, we do not know you." So we let him sit out there for a little while to learn from his mistake, and then finally we did let him through the narrow gate and up into the apartment. Today's gospel is all about getting through that narrow gate into the kingdom of heaven. It's our life's goal, and that's what Christ is giving us the key to. Because the people ask if only a few will be saved, but Christ doesn't put a number on it. But his will is for all of us to be saved, but we have to cooperate with that will. But he does give us the way to get into heaven. And he starts by talking about the fact that it's a narrow door. It's not a door that's blocked or locked in some way. He doesn't try to trick us into missing the door, but he lets us know that it's going to be difficult. He even uses the word strive to enter it. And that word strive comes from a Greek word that means to put all one's effort into it. It's the same word that the Greeks used for Olympic athletes. And I think we all see Olympic athletes who, like St. Paul said, back then and even now, give up many, many things in order to have a perishable crown or gold medal. But it's that same effort, that same spirit of sacrifice that has to go into getting into heaven, to go through the narrow gate. Because if it's a narrow gate, it means that we have to hit it straight on. There's not a lot of ways to come at it from the side. You shouldn't have three stopovers on the way over. And it's also a narrow gate, and so you can't fit in with a lot of stuff. You know, I often will go home for my day off on Wednesday, and that's sometimes the day that my mom will go to Wegmans. So I'll go with her, and on the way back, when we get home, I will help, bring the groceries in. But being a guy, I'd rather break my arms than have to make two trips to the car. So I have bags that loaded up all my arms, and I have like 5 in each hand, and I struggle through, and the sinking feeling comes when sometimes I realize I can't fit through the door. So then I have to put half of them on the ground, take half of them in, bring in the other half. I don't get any pity from my mom, who warns me usually before I try to do it all. But that's the way it is. If we try to carry everything that we have with us on earth, we're going to not be able to fit through that gate. And it's not just a matter, I think we all realize intellectually that we can't bring stuff with us when we pass from this earth, but we can be attached to our things. The problem is not having things, it's having that spirit of attachment. If we lost what we have materially, would we lose our faith in God? Do we ensure that we're giving from our excess to those who need our help? Do we have that spirit of detachment, that we're not defined by our things? Those are the things that we have to leave behind spiritually so that we can fit through that narrow gate. And then Christ talks about how the people will tell him, "Lord, we ate with you. Don't you know us?" And to me, when Christ says, "No, I did not know you," this has to do with the fact that we come to Mass, which is irreplaceable, and the most important part of our spiritual life. But does that encounter with Christ truly change us? Because if it's a true encounter with Christ in the Eucharist, if we're really open to what he has to say to us, then our life is going to be changed. Our whole week will be different because we encountered Christ in the Eucharist. So a good way of telling if you're open to the graces that God wants to give you in the Mass is how you act the rest of the week. If I say Mass on Sunday, but then I'm a jerk to everybody that comes across my office the rest of the week, I probably am not getting the fruitfulness that God wants me to have. And so we have to always be asking ourselves that question. Am I really a changed person because I encountered Christ, because I dined with him and his mystical body, the Church? The same with our idea of listening. These people say that we listened to you when you preached in our streets. How do you not know us? Well, we hear the message of Christ. We hear it in the Gospel. We hear it in the Old Testament readings, the New Testament readings. We hear it in the prayers of Mass and the homily. But if we don't actually act on it, then it does us no good. It means that, again, it was not a real encounter with Christ. The same for me. Paul talks about how people need to pray for him that he might not preach the Word of God and save others, but be lost himself. If I'm not actually practicing the things that I'm preaching, then it might help others through the mercy of God, but it does me no good. And so, ultimately, going to heaven is about having a relationship with our Lord, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that when we get to the gate of heaven, he recognizes us and invites us in. That means going to Mass on Sunday, of course. It means praying each and every day. It means having that daily conversation with him, letting him infiltrate each part of our life to where when we act, we're acting in a way that Christ would recognize, not in one that he would turn us away. And if we're not perfect when we get to heaven, I think many of us won't be, myself included, our Lord is merciful then too. In both the Old and the New Testament, we hear over and over again about how some people, before they enter heaven, will need a time of purification, like gold tried in fire. And Christ talks about how some people will come to the wedding feast not ready, and so they'll stand outside until they've paid back what's due. It doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven, but there's a time that they need to be purged of their sin. Purgatory, the same root. And so purgatory is really just an opportunity to take those parts of us which are not perfect. Maybe we still envied some. Maybe we still had a problem with honesty. Perhaps we never learned to truly forgive a certain person. Well, that doesn't mean that we're going to be condemned, but it also means that we're not quite ready. I like Father Saunders' example that whenever he would go to dinner, and I think it's probably something we can all relate to, his mom would not let him just go straight to the dinner table if he had been outside playing. Our moms always say, you need to wipe your feet, you need to go to the bathroom and wash your hands, wash your face, then you can come to dinner. That's what purgatory is. It's a time of cleansing us, preparing us for seeing God face to face. And it's painful because we're separated from the one that we long for. But it's purifying. And that's why it's important to pray for those souls in purgatory. So that when we're in purgatory ourselves, if we should go there, we have people to pray for us. And finally, we have to talk about hell, which is a real place. But it's not a place that God sends people to, even though that's the common imagery. It's a place that we freely choose to go by consistently and with determination turning away from God, by failing to show our love of God by keeping his commandments. And it's a place with the absence of God. And that feeling of being with God is every joy that you have in your life, which is a foretaste of it. So think about the many joys in your life. And about how sometimes they're imperfect because there's something missing, or you know it's going to end at some point. You know, time flies when you're having fun. Well, that is a foretaste of what it will be like to be with God and to be with each other in the presence of God in heaven. And imagine that possibility being cut off forever and being cut off from God, who St. Augustine said, our hearts are made for him and will be restless until we rest in him. So hell is really spending your whole life restless because you're unable to be with the one you were created to be with. That is what we were created to be. Somebody who follows the will of God and goes to heaven. It's very simple. It's to have a relationship with Christ, and Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And those commandments that we keep have nothing to do with things that are good for God. He's already perfect. It doesn't add anything to him. They're good for us. He created us to follow his will. So when we follow his will, we're being the people that we were created to be. There's not that tension anymore. We're doing the things that make us a better person, the best versions of ourselves. It's not easy, but life isn't easy. And if we actually follow the will of God and stay within his church, we don't do it alone. We have the communion of saints, the angels, and God himself, and most obviously we have each other. All of us together are here because we're striving to enter through that narrow gate. So we don't have to do it alone. We support and we help one another. We'll find that deep joy in our lives then. And we'll find a way to deal with suffering, which will come whether we're following the will of God or not. But if we have that foundation, it'll be something lasting. And then we'll actually get to heaven together. And when we arrive, that narrow gate will lead not to an elevator going to an Airbnb apartment, but to the kingdom of heaven. And that's the greatest trip you can take.